Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, everybody. I am super pumped. I've got an awesome guest. His name is Bob Yeager from Selling Labs. And today what we're going to talk about is what he considers to be the way to look at your business. And I think coming up in the new year, we're just about on the brink of another new year. His philosophy is going from accidental profits to on-purpose profits. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, Bob, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, buddy?
Oh, I'm just, I'm living the dream, baby. Living the dream. So the first thing I like to do is let people know a little bit about Bob Yeager. Where did you start? How did you go from being a 12-year-old martial artist on stage selling stuff to where you're at today?
None of it was accidental. How about that?
Love it.
So when I started out as a kid, I was competing in worldwide martial arts tournaments, and I created meditation programs that we'd sell from stage. So when I was 12, the sponsors were like, you should really get up there and sell this stuff. And I did, and it was very successful. And as I got, on in my teenage years, I wanted to start my own landscaping company. That was kind of a family thing. And I started off doing really big contracts, and luckily I had my dad to kind of support me in that. He wasn't a wealthy guy, and he wasn't real knowledgeable about business, but he knew landscaping, right? So I had this nice support circle around all that. And then as I was going to college, I was going to high school and college at the same time. I started with the Art Institute, then I went to Pitt for engineering and Carnegie Mellon. But I went to the Art Institute for advertising, and I was 17, and that's when I met Billy Mays. And Billy knew that I was working with Dal America as a part-time telemarketer and trainer, and he asked me if I could start writing copy for him. So I started writing copy for Billy, and through that I met Jim Rohn, and I started selling tickets to their events. So, I piggybacked through engineering and sales and marketing from the time I was like 12 all the way up until I was 30 years old.
Now, let me ask you one quick question, man, because this I don't think everybody knows who Billy Mays is just by his name. Why don't you let people know who Billy Mays is? Because he's like one of my faves.
Well, Billy Mays was the host of Pitchman, but before that, he did a lot of the as seen on TV commercials for the products like OxyClean and things like that. He was the guy with the beard and the blue shirt. He's really loud all the time. But Billy was, he was a force in the sales industry well before there was a television show with him on it.
Wow.
And well beyond, the time he passed away a few years back. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But Billy was, he came from Pittsburgh, and later on he moved his whole company to Florida. But he was this guy that he was just always around. In Pittsburgh, there's this circle of sales guys that hang out in Pittsburgh Strip District, and they literally sit there and pitch each other in the mornings and stuff. And they're from all different companies, and they all hang out with each other. And Billy was always there, and he'd sit quietly in the corner, but every once in a while he'd hear a pitch, and he'd step up and say, hey, run that by me again. He wouldn't let that guy leave until that guy could nail that pitch. And he didn't charge any money for that, and I just loved that. And there was many times me and Billy were competing on getting a client, and we always ended up working together on it. So it was
wow.
If you didn't know Billy Mays, look for reruns of The Pitch Man with him and Mike Sullivan. They were just fantastic at what they did. Mm-hmm. Both of them have checkered pasts, which I think a lot of sales guys did. They're all a bunch of hustlers anyway, right? Mm-hmm. But Billy kind of created this. This is how you pitch and demonstrate a product. He was the guy that kind of created that, and I don't think there was another like him before him besides like P.T. Barnum, right? It was this big production all the time when you were pitching a product, and this big, really practice the demonstration and laying that product out. And I think today with the online marketing, people lose that because of digital products and things like that. They think they can't really demonstrate well. Billy put a character into the demonstration. And he really saw what the consumer was feeling before they bought that product. I feel this right now, but if I had this solution, I'm going to feel like this. And he knew that. And he put that into every presentation he did.
Just amazing. I mean, I've studied his stuff and read a bunch of articles, and you know, I've seen Pitchman, and that, you know, that in its essence is just incredible. The fact that you worked with him and did so much. So let's talk about this concept of accidental profits to on-purpose profits. What do you mean by that?
That started when I was about 18, right around the time I started Selling Lab back in like 1996. Every time I went into a business, I asked them what their profit was, and they had kind of the same numbers, but it would fluctuate all across the board from month to month. And I'd ask them, you know, what's your current marketing strategy, your advertising strategy? And it was usually the same thing. People do, they basically, when they find something, they kind of stick with it, right? So it wasn't so much that their advertising or their marketing efforts gave that same result all the time. It was just, it worked good enough so they kept doing it. So one month they'd have a few thousand dollars come in, another month they'd have a few hundred thousand dollars come in. And to me, that wasn't on, that's not an on-purpose profit type of thing. That's you got something that was working, you put it up there, it's running, but you're just letting it do its thing, right? And accidentally, you're coming across these big hits. Well, what I always try to do is find out what exactly is causing those big hits, those particular big hits, and how can we duplicate that across the board month for month, quarter to quarter, year for year, right? But today, with internet marketers especially, they put something out there, and it may or may not work. I don't know about you, but when I put something out there, I want it to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. So there's many times that I will be testing for a year or two before I even do a product launch, because I want to know when I put the effort into doing that product launch, which is a very expensive endeavor to do, I want to know that it works. It's not going to be on accident. Everything's on purpose. Every step of the process, everything that somebody does or works on is all on purpose. It's not like, hey, I got this great idea. Why don't we? No, stick to the plan. Because it's been tested for the past 2 years, stick to the plan, right? Today, a lot of people they see the next guy selling high ticket, they see this guy selling big ticket, then they see this guy over here selling low ticket to lead into big ticket, and they're putting all this stuff together that seems very random, and it's because even if they have a strategy in place that they've written, it is very random because they can't see all the pieces of that other guy's campaign that they're trying to duplicate, right? And the only way you can see every piece is literally to be behind the scenes of that guy's company and see how they put every single piece together, right? From new market to making the sale and beyond, you have to be part of that process. And, you know, there's people like me and, you know, Lee Collins and yourself. We see all this stuff because we worked on all this stuff, right? Well, today, what you have happening time and time again is people will say, I'm going to try this Facebook advertising. I'm going to put this thing out here. Today it didn't make anything, but next month it did. And they're like, okay, that worked. Now wait. No, that might have been an accident. It might have just been, it just happened to work that day just because of Facebook's algorithm or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we have to do is do it over and over and over again. And the way you start making profit on purpose is not by, you know, Chet Holmes said it best, but Bruce Lee has said it. It's not by doing 10,000 things. It's about doing one thing, five things, 10,000 times. That's right. When you start getting profit on purpose, right?
Right. So how, you know, let's talk from a small business standpoint. I mean, internet marketing is one piece, and we know we've got lots of tools and measurements and things that we can do. But let's say, you know, you've got a small independent retailer that's sitting out in the middle of Nebraska. How do they find that purpose? What kind of things should they be looking at that would give them the purpose to continue to do those kind of things? Or more importantly, what should they be measuring?
I'll give you an answer that they'll like, and I'll give you an answer they're going to hate.
Amen.
I'll start with the answer they're going to hate. Even in my business, I don't do all my marketing myself. I hire outside help. I hire consultants. I hire coaches. I hire analysts. I've even hired college professors to look over my stuff. It's because I need an objective set of eyes to look at what I have, right, my business and what I'm creating. When it comes down to even my financial papers and books, I hire somebody that's better at that stuff than me, right? And most small businesses are trying to save so much money, they don't realize that if they invested money into themselves by hiring an outside person who's qualified, they're going to get better results from the things that they do. Okay. With that said, people need to start looking at how people consume their products, how people find out about their types of businesses, and where those people are reading, looking, watching, listening about that stuff. Okay, and that takes research, all right? And there's plenty of resources out there. You just look up, you know, market research on this industry and stuff. You'll find plenty of resources on everything. But how do you start that and say, okay, well, I found out where people are looking at the stuff and how they're buying the stuff and what they're willing to pay and what kind of businesses they buy it from and how they like it delivered. I found all this out. Now what do I do? Now you find out how the best competitors that you have, I'm talking the biggest competitors that you have, right? The big box stores, things like that, right? How are they marketing to these people? Because think about this now. Those companies, let's say like Target, Walmart, all these big box stores, right? They spend tens of millions, if not billions of dollars on advertising. True? And they're going to run that ad over and over and over again. And honestly, if you're seeing that ad run for weeks or months on end, it's probably because it worked. And then you'll start seeing variations of it. And then there's that one that just keeps on running all the time, right? They just did tens of millions of dollars of marketing testing on exactly how your audience likes to receive a message. If you can duplicate that on the smallest scale, would you be happy with 5% of that audience coming to you?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And it's easier for us because we're bigger businesses have to advertise and market nationally, internationally, globally. We only have to market to a small space, right? And they're not putting all their marketing effort into that small space. They're putting their marketing effort into a national or international broadcast, right? I figured this out. By accident, okay? I was about 19 years old. I was advertising this engineering thing that we were doing. It was like a trade show event. And I said, why don't we advertise on cable television? And it was for big business owners and things like that. And the owner of this company was like, no, it could cost us a fortune. Well, I found out through Comcast to advertise locally at, say, like 2 a.m., during one of their business, like on CNBC or something like that, one of their read broadcasts of a previous show that they showed earlier in the night, mm-hmm. It costs like $3,500 a month, dude.
Wow.
It's nothing, right? So all we did was, and this is, you know, we were sending people teleclasses, and they go, they call on the phone, they listen to a message and schedule for a teleclass to listen to, right? And then we sell tickets to this event. Well, we didn't have a big enough teleclass line to handle the amount of traffic we got from that one ad that showed twice a week for a month that cost us $3,500. The event cost $10,000 to come to. It was sold out with a waiting list, right? And the way I figured this out was I saw a bigger brand, a bigger engineering company. They were on all of the investment shows. They were, like, during the prime time hours, they were advertising, right? And I'm like, but they're not advertising at 2 a.m. when these business owners are awake and stressing out about their companies not making enough money and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if I was advertising then? It's cheaper. Sure, I'm not going to see as much of an audience, right? But I'm going to see that prime audience that I'm looking for, and it's just a percentage of the audience. But nobody else, the bigger multi-billion dollar brands aren't tackling that audience. They're not getting that chunk. And that's what I started doing with local businesses, even in Pittsburgh. I said, look, you don't have to go after the nation or the country or the international population. You only have to go after the Pittsburgh market and surrounding areas. And these great big giant multinational brands are not marketing heavily to that one specific area. Do what they do, but scale it down to just this one area.
Mm-hmm.
And look, even SEO works like that. You do local SEO, where are you going to find local listings for most businesses? Because you typed in the name of a city or a township or a borough or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a plumber, you're not just going to type best plumbers. No, you're going to type, you know, top 10 plumbers in the Pittsburgh area, or the tri-state area or whatever it may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the more you niche it down, if I said tri-state, that's three states. If I say Pittsburgh, that's just one city. If I say greater Pittsburgh area, that's around the city. But if I say Cranberry Township, now it's very, very targeted. How much are those ads going to cost me for that very, very targeted listing? Not much at all,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm going to get enough business as a small business owner where it comes in nice and steady. I can scale it up through more ad reach or whatever, more promotion. But I can also scale it back if I'm getting too many customers, which I think is one of the biggest problems with local businesses. They get too many customers and they can't fulfill the demand, which leads to shoddy service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at that, now I'm saying, okay, there's the very costly expense of doing business. It's the most expensive part is marketing your business and getting new leads, new prospects, new customers, right? That's how we do profit on purpose. So let's set that to a side right now and let's say, how can I add a zero to my sales for the month tomorrow? That's what everybody really wants to know, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
And that's it's inexpensive. It's the easiest approach, and you'll get better results than any other method. You still have to do the marketing, lead generation, getting new clients, but that's a very big expense. Let's set that aside. That's something we do as an evergreen strategy. We're always bringing in new leads, new prospects, qualifying new sales, right? So we know that we need to do that. Let's set that aside. Let's talk about adding a zero to your monthly revenue starting tomorrow. Past customer reactivation and current customer upsells. That's where it's at.
I love it. Absolutely.
It's the quickest, easiest method to make more money immediately. Right now, not waiting until next quarter, not waiting until Black Friday, immediately. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you know, this is the biggest insight I can give any local retailer or local business. If you know that Black Friday is the most profitable selling day of the year, would you like to know how to be able to take that day off, not even care about it, and make the money you would have made on Black Friday 3 months before?
Oh, hell yeah.
And all you have to do is activate past customers. For retail customers, you send them a letter, just like Bob Serling did. A lot of people have done this over the years. You mail them a letter. Old school, man, right? Just throw it in the mailbox, mail them a letter. You mail them a letter saying, hey, we loved working with you in the past on this project with this product. We loved having you a customer, whatever it may be. But we haven't heard from you for a while, and we wondered if we'd done something wrong. Here's my personal cell phone number or my personal office number. Give me a call, and I will personally respond, or Judy will respond to this, whoever you have allocated for that. And let us know if we've done anything wrong or if you need any help with anything. In the meantime, we created this great free gift that we'd like to give you. Put it on a password-protected download page on the internet, a nice report on how to reduce the amount of times you have to clean your septic tank, right? That's something homeowners would want to know. So I put out this little report. It tells them ABC how to do this, and the username is their name, and the password is, you know, Bob's Gift or something, right? They go there. They log into that page. When they go to download that form, the PDF file, it says, hey, by the way, we want to do something really special for you. A lot of people wait, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5 years to clean their septic tank. What if your septic tank could be treated each and every year and it's not going to cost you hundreds or thousands of dollars? Nope. For this monthly payment of $15 a month, we're going to come out each month and make sure that your bacteria levels are appropriate, that the flow rate's appropriate. And if we have to clean that septic tank or we have to flush those pipes in the course of that year, we'll do it on the house.
Hmm.
$15 a month times 12 months is about the cost it costs to clean a septic tank, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If they find a problem where there's broken pipe or anything like that, they're regularly looking at a customer's supply line, their plumbing, right? They say, hey, Jennifer, you know, I noticed that you have a pipe leaking out back. Would you like me to fix that while I'm here? Well, how much is that going to cost me, Bob? Hey, you know what? I tell you what, $30 and I'll get it done in the next 15 minutes. That's a very special offer, but it's limited. For a service-based business, it's limited to 7 days. They have to respond within 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you're selling a specific product, you do it at a 25% discount. and you sell that within the next 30 days, they have to take you up on the offer. But what they see is this business is reaching out and saying, hey, if I've done anything wrong by you, please personally tell me because I want to get that taken care of, right? Next is I want to give you something because you've been a customer and I love you. And then finally, it's, hey, I got this new service, this new product, and I know you really love it, so I'm going to give you a 25% discount, but you have to respond in this amount of time. That letter, dude, no joke, I've seen 30 to 500% increase in profit month after month just because of that one letter.
Wow.
That's past customer reactivation.
See, that's incredible, and it's a great, and that's a lot of people neglect that. I mean, a lot of people get always looking for the, you know, the next bright shiny object, the brass ring, and all this other stuff. Now, with all of this stuff that you've been talking about, I know a lot of small business people fall prey to the what I call the marketing strategy du jour, and you get these salespeople coming in. We all get those phone calls, man, of people that are saying, you know, we're going to make you number one on Google. We, you know, we're going to, you know, get you in all to the search engines and all this other stuff, and they just start throwing money at stuff that they have no concept of what's going to work. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen people doing along those lines?
Well, I started with, you know, I used to own an SEO company. I had a web marketing management for years. And same thing I used to tell clients all the time, like, look, don't call me because you think you need SEO. If you can't make business happen without the internet, then you're doing something wrong. Let's start there. Let's find out what you can do offline before you venture online, right? I also tell them that anything that you do online, and you know I'm a big advocate of internet marketing, right? But I tell them anything that you do online is kind of, it's up in the air until you do proper testing. So you need you need the budget for, it's going to take 90 days to properly test something, right? Whether it be SEO, keyword research, pay-per-click advertising, banner placement, whatever it is you're doing, 90 days is a great amount of time for that person to properly test an offer, test a marketing campaign, right? So don't think that I'm going to pay for this thing one time and it's magically going to send me traffic, magically going to get me leads, or magically going to make me sales. You have to give it the proper amount of time to test. Now, since you have to do that, you have to be able to ask the consultant the proper questions, right? And it's not about how many companies like mine have you worked with. That doesn't matter. I've worked with 180 different companies across 140 different industries, right? Businesses in general aren't really different. They're looking for leads. They're looking for better clients, and they're looking for more sales and more profit per sale, per customer, right? So knowing that, the same campaigns kind of span across multiple industries. If you're a small business owner and you're looking to invest into your marketing, you want to know that somebody can answer each and every question. If somebody stumbles across a basic question like, where are we going to do our advertising and how much would this usually cost, the proper answer is going to be, it's going to cost depending upon how much it costs to specifically target the leads you're looking for. In order for us to find that out, we have to test these types of campaigns in order to target those right people. Okay? Many times we can research to find that out beforehand, but you only find out for your particular business if you invest some advertising dollars to test, because it can be different from business to business. I think that scares business owners because that's basically saying, give me a bunch of money and you may or may not get it back. Right? That's scary to a lot of people. So what I tell people to do before you start venturing out for new marketing models or new advertising models to invest in, have a strategic project scope written up around a specific campaign that you want to run, a specific product that you want to sell, or look at your business and say, do I actually have a business model written here that includes a marketing model, an advertising model, and a sales pipeline? If I don't have all those things mapped out, we're guessing the whole way. And what are we getting from that, Brian? Accidental profits, right? If any. When you have those things all mapped out, now you have a plan that's going to bring profits on purpose. That's where I start. I tell people, look for a business advisor is really good at doing strategic project scopes, business models, marketing models, advertising models, and putting that together the proper sales pipeline. When you have that, now you have a roadmap to exactly where you need to go, and you have contingency plans in case something doesn't work out along the way. So it's about getting a plan written before you ever invest in advertising and things like that. Does that make sense?
It's totally outstanding. Yeah, no, totally makes sense. Bob, this has been outstanding. Just incredible information, and man, you just knocked it out of the park. So I want to let my people know, if they want to learn more, because I obviously this has been a power close to an hour at this point. If they want to learn more about you and your systems, how can they learn more from you?
There's two easy ways. The first way is go to sellinglab.com. I have a really nice audio system on the front end of that site that tells you how to develop a sales pipeline. It's free. You don't have to opt in or anything like that. Selling Lab's kind of my thing. It's been around for 20 years. It's kind of my think tank of developing strategy, right? We sell products from time to time, but mostly it's a resource for people. I want it to be there for folks. If they want to contact me directly, they'd be contacting me, Lee and Mary, at ruthlessmarketing.com. Just hit our contact us page and say, hey, we need you guys' help. And we've been working with a lot of companies for a lot of years, so that'd be the two ways I tell people to consume my stuff.
Awesome. 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 So, and they can find you on Facebook and other places like that if they wanted to come.
Right? Facebook, Bob Yeager, Pittsburgh. Twitter, it's Bob Yeager. YouTube, it's Bob Yeager.
In our pre-call, we actually talked about the whole Jägermeister thing, which is not the drink. It's really a job that people had, which is pretty cool. So that's an easy way to remember, spelled the same way. Anyways, Bob, this has been, like I said, man, just totally outstanding. And I so appreciate you and all the insight that you threw at this. I mean, people go back and listen again because it is incredible. Bob, man, I really appreciate you and your time and willingness to come and share all this great information with my peeps, man. So thanks so much.
Hey, no, man, I appreciate you, because most of the time when people call me up and say, hey, could you do a broadcast with me? They're like, but could you sell something while you're at it? I'm like, well, can't I just teach? I don't always have to sell people stuff, you know. But I think that people need to look into what we've talked about over the past hour or so and say to themselves, okay, this is a little more complicated. There's more steps to it. So do your homework, do your research, and study up on these topics, and it'll help you out.
Yeah, you gave everybody a lot to think about, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.